Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm hoping so. You know, you can move forward if you want. You might get some holy slobber on you or something, you know. Yeah, you might like it. Hey, let me give you an idea. When music like this is going, okay, or like we're having worship, and we've all been in traditional churches where you go and they have like a, what do you call it? A box that you fit into. A hymnal, and you know, you open the hymnals. That's how about the first 25 years Sue and I did it. And I love all those hymnals. I love all those songs, those hymns. You know, I was singing one this morning. I didn't even realize. I mean, I was just taking the shower, and all of a sudden I heard myself singing this song. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming precious blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I was just taking a shower, and all of a sudden this song I'm hearing, it's like, it was me singing. It was like, just like so cool. It was just coming out of me. I love all those. But when you come into a church, when God first brought us into a church, something like this, okay, Matthew, when God first brought us into a church, something like this, it was like we were going, man, this is different, you know, weird. Like, where's the hymnals? And they're all acting, they're dancing, you know, we're Baptists, we don't dance, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, and we were like going, Lord, what is all this? And it seems like You're here, but this is like outside of our comfort zone, and we're not used to this. And what God just basically taught us was, He said, you know, He said, you were indoctrinated into the Baptists, and the Baptists are awesome, and they have all kinds of good hymnals and hymns, you know, and there's a lot of good about them. They're about soul winning, and they're about, you know, evangelism. They're about church planting. He said, they're awesome. He said, but that's not all. He said, everybody that comes to heaven isn't going to be a Baptist. You don't got to be a Baptist to go to heaven. He said, what it makes is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's to know God. If we're going to be part of His family, then we have to know Him, right? Okay? This is called bread and butter basics, but I just want to share something with you that will help you. When we go to start a service and we're going to do worship, you know, you only get out of something what you put into it. Are you with me? If you've ever been a parent and you ask your kids to do something and they go through the motions, but they only do what you ask, they only do what they have to do, and they do it half-heartedly. Are they really getting something out of it? Does that really bless you? No, does it? But when they just really pour their life into it, and they like, let's clean the house, and they just like go to town cleaning that house, not like you're having to stand over them with a whip, dun, 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 you know, beating them or something. But it's like they want to. Well, when you come in to a service like this, my suggestion to you, come on in, is what you want to do is, you may not, like, sometimes I don't even understand the words on these CDs we play, or sometimes when somebody's singing a song, I don't even understand the words, but you don't have to. What you do is you just tell Jesus, I want You. Because you want Jesus, right?
That's right.
I'm sorry? I didn't understand. Is anybody else want Jesus?
Oh. I do.
I want Jesus. And you see, that's what I need, is I need Jesus. Now see, you don't have to, some people running around here and they're waving banners and they're dancing and they're singing, and you see other people standing there crying, and you see me doing my arms all over the place or sitting up here or laying on the floor. It's like, it doesn't matter. What matters is I want Jesus. You want Jesus. We're all individuals. You don't have to do everything the way everybody else does. You know, when I was a Baptist, we all wore wingtip shoes and ties and suits. And when I would go around the country preaching, if I didn't wear one of those things, they would look at me like I was doing something wrong, because, you know, I didn't fit the little pattern. And I'm so glad God got me out of the box. And He said, it's okay. You don't have to do all that. What I want us to do is start off reading three chapters, and then after we read that, then I want to just ask you a few questions, okay? So I want you to turn to the in your Bible to the book of Genesis. Let's see. It's before Matthew. If you were in Matthew, you went too far. Okay? Go back to the beginning of the Bible. It's called Genesis. Okay? We're going to read chapters 1 through 3. Are you ready? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There wasn't anyone but God, you see. And it was just God. And there wasn't anything but God. And He decided to create the heaven and the earth. And by the way, He's a person. He's an individual. And He's creative. He's cool. Neatest guy I ever met. And the earth was without form and void. It was still in His mind. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In my Bible, I marked, and God said, and then I marked, and there was. You see, when God speaks, it happens. I just like that. When God speaks, it happens. You could take Him at His word. You ever heard that saying, a man's only as good as his word? Well, it started with God. Okay? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's a big key. God divided the light from the darkness. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament. Let there be a heaven in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Did you know there's three heavens in the Bible? There is what's referred to as heavens. The first heaven is what we call the atmosphere, the air. Okay? Are you with me? The second heaven is what we would call space or outer space. The third heaven is God's house. I'm going to call it God's house. Okay? That's when you read through the Bible anyway, that's what you'll find. I just thought I'd share it with you. There's no charge. Just thought I'd let you know. Okay, here we go. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Are you ready? Let's see, where were we? What verse? Let's just read verse 8 again. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven, under the firmament, be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. In other words, the plant having seed in itself, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs or plants yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now you got this? Are you getting this picture? Here's God. There's nothing, and he decides to create. There's darkness. And what God does is, first thing he does is he turns the light on. Okay? He says, let there be light. And then he divides the light from the darkness. Okay? Are you with me? You following this? I mean, it's called creation. I didn't make it up. I'm just reading it. Okay? And so he I don't think he's got the sun and the moon yet. Anyway, but you'll see there's an order of the way God does things. He's bringing it all about. He takes the waters. He separates the waters. He has a heaven or an atmosphere in between. He begins to bring the waters together. He says for all the waters to come together and for the dry land to appear. Now the earth is coming about. Do you see how God's doing it? He does everything in order. God is a God of order. Sometimes people have said to us, man, your church is like kind of somewhat chaotic during worship or something. People running all over the place and waving banners, and some people are laying down and some people are laughing and some people are crying. And it's like, you know, I said, what I see is I see God working. And I said, we're not all the same and we're not all in the same place, are we, Don? And what God's doing in Don's heart, he's laughing. But what God's doing in my heart, I'm crying. Because that's where I'm at. And we don't all have to do the same thing. Aren't you glad? Isn't that kind of neat that you could be who God created you to be and you don't have to be me? Aren't you glad? You ought to be. Okay. All right. See, I have to be me. The rest of you get to be you. Aren't you glad? I am for you. Okay. Verse 13, in the evening and the morning were the third day. And what I want you to see is he's a God of order. He does everything in order. You ready? Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, outer space, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. In other words, you're going to be able to tell time by these lights that are in the outer space, okay? And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Because verse 14, and God said, verse 15, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl or birds, things that fly, that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven, the first heaven, the atmosphere. Okay? That's right. That's what I was thinking. Okay. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening, in the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now notice verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. I wonder why God said, let us. Make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion, power over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. In other words, you can eat it. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations, or these are the histories of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground or to prepare the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Remember when Noah told the people it was going to rain, and the people laughed at him? And he was 120 years building this ark. And if you go and you look up the size of this ark, it was like as big as like a football field, or I don't remember exactly, but I think it was like as big as a football field. And he had three sons, and it took him a long time, 120 years to build it. And during that time, he told the people it was getting ready to rain, and they laughed at him. See, we just take rain for granted. But the Bible says before the ark, it didn't rain. Water didn't come out of the air. It came up from the ground. Have you ever been to any tropical land where it's all moist, like down near the equator? Have you ever been to any place like that? Well, we went down to Cancun, and it's real, like real beautiful. My wife earned a trip out to Hawaii, and she said, you can't even imagine. She said, it is so beautiful out here. And she was out there for like 8 days or whatever, and she said, it's so beautiful. It's like perfect temperature. And she said, every 15 minutes, a mist comes through the air. I mean, she said, just like clockwork. Every 15 minutes, a mist comes, and if you even start to get warm, this mist just cools you off. She said, when you eat the food, the fruit that's grown there, she said, you've never eaten fruit like this before. She said, it's just like any fruit you would, it looks like the fruits we would eat here, but she said, it tastes so good, it's like it melts in your mouth. She said, Harvey, this must be like what heaven is like. She said, it's not like canned fruit, or you go and you buy something and it's, you know, a banana and it's green, and then you gotta wait till it's yellow. She said, this is like perfect food. She said, you just can't believe how wonderful this is. Well, what I'm saying to you is, before it rained, it says, verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. That's why when, I'm just giving you an idea why when you read about Noah in a couple chapters later, you'll want, you know, and you think when Noah's telling them it's going to rain and they're going, yeah, right. And I mean, you're thinking, well, why would they think that's peculiar? Because it had never rained before. Anyway, just throwing that in, you know, it's freebie, but anyway. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Where did we come from? And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God picked up the ground, which he had spoken to existence. Now, if you pick up the ground and you go to breathe in it, what happens? You're going to choke. That's right. Don't inhale, because you're going to choke, right? But God picked up this ground and he breathed into it his breath, and it became a living soul. It became a man. It became a person. I just want you to have an idea of like how cool he is, how big he is, like what is it he can't do, okay? And where we came from. So we get thinking so high and mighty of ourselves, you know? Anyway, let's keep going. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God. By the way, the Lord God, whenever you see that, I looked it up. And the Lord means the self-existent. The self-existent one. In other words, he can exist by himself. He can exist. He doesn't need anything. And the word God there means the eternal one. So the self-existent eternal one. I just think that's pretty cool. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it at you. You know, you didn't have to look it up. Okay. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first, or four different rivers. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth or surrounds or encompasses the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Sounds like God was teaching him responsibility. What do you think? I think it's cool. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him, or a helper that's fit for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helper, a help meet for him, or one that was fit to him. You see, a dog and him weren't like the same. You know, people say, dog's man's best friend. Nope. Wasn't a help meet for him. God said, you need one that's like you. So verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, God, took one of his, Adam's, ribs, and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, whoa, man! Oh, no, he said, And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called, whoa, man, because did you check her out? Oh, no, he said, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, because of this, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I want you to notice verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There's a number of things he's saying there. They were both naked. That means they didn't have clothes on. And they weren't ashamed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and I went to gym class and they said, okay, all you boys, when you're done playing, you stink. So we want you to go through the showers in front of everybody together. I'm like, you must be high. Like, I am not doing that. And they would make you strip down, and here you are, naked as a jaybird, in front of all these guys, and I'm like, I don't want to be in here with these guys, I'm naked. And it's like, and they're naked, and I don't want to see nothing.
And I don't want to say anything!
I hated gym class at that part. I loved the rest of gym class until they made me get naked. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. God made them, male and female. They were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Are you with me? And then it says, notice right in the middle of that verse. You see, when he brought them together, God's not into people living together. When he brought them together, guess what he did? He married them! Now, I got to marry all my kids, okay? And somebody will say, you married your kids? I'm like, you know, get over it. You know what I mean? We did the thing. You know, say I do. And to the guy I said, say I'm done because it's all over, buddy. And, you know, okay, now I now pronounce you man and wife. Give her a double lip lock. You know? And with we raised our kids in over on the other side of the state, and we had a church building. And the name of the church was Heritage Baptist, still there. And they had a Christian school, and our kids went to Christian school. And the boys in the Christian school used to like to take the girls and go into the furnace room. And, they were making out. I don't know what they were making out, but they were making out, and whatever that is. Okay, so anyway. And my daughter, Jamie, liked Eric, who she's now married to, but she said, Mom, I have to quit liking Eric because he keeps trying to drag me into the furnace room like the other guys do with the other girls. And I don't want to go in the furnace room. And so she didn't have anything to do with him. And then later, you know, they got together. And I got to marry him in that same church building. So when it came time for me to pronounce him man and wife, I said out loud, I now pronounce you man and wife. And I looked at Eric and said, you may now take her to the furnace room. And he grabbed her, ran her down the aisle. I mean, everybody's going to go, dun, 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 dun. You know, and she's like, Eric, Ash! You know, and he's pulling her and ran her down and took her to the furnace room and started making out. It was just, I thought that was cool. But I want you to see here, they were both naked. They were not ashamed. Because you know what? If it wasn't for sin, we wouldn't be ashamed. Okay? But because of sin, we've had our... I'll just wait. Because of sin, we've had our thinking corrupted. Are you listening? We've had our thinking corrupted. Okay? So what God did was he married them. And, you know, he brings them together. He says, whoa, man. Of course, he didn't have anything to check, you know, compare her with. But she was still looking good to him. And so then in 2 verses later, God's already married him. Okay? Now we're going to do chapter 3, and then we're going to be done with this. And then I can start talking about what I wanted to talk about. You ready? Or at least what I think what he wanted me to talk about. Now the serpent, you know what a serpent is? Well, he was Satan. He was a snake. He's still a snake. Now the serpent was more subtle, more tricky, more deceptive than any, more cunning, crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now who said unto the woman? Who was talking to the woman? I want to make sure we get this straight. The devil was talking to the woman, the serpent. Are you ready? Because I want you to get this. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now we're going to stop there for a minute, because I just want you to see something. First of all, who was she listening to? Who was she having a conversation with? Now why in the daylights would she want to have a conversation with a snake? Why would she want to have a conversation with the devil? So I'm just going to ask you a question. Why do you listen to him? You see, we have thoughts that come to us. For example, I'm driving down the road, and I see a girl. She's got her clothes tattooed to her body. You know, you don't even have to wonder what her body looks like because her clothes are tattooed to her. Okay? And the devil starts giving me these thoughts. Now, you know what I've chosen? What I say out loud? I only want my wife and Jesus. I only want my wife and Jesus. I don't want that. I don't want anybody else. I only want my wife and Jesus. Over in James 4, 6 and 7 it says, or is it 7 and 8? Anyway, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, or submit to His way. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You get to choose. I don't know if you understand this or not, but we are like God in many ways. And one of the things that God lets us be like him is he gives us the power to choose. We have a free will. Nobody goes to hell that doesn't choose to go there. You say, well, I don't. Why would anybody choose to go there? I've met people who said that's where they want to go. I remember a guy told me that down in Texas when we were starting our first church. I'm going to go to hell and party with all my friends and all this. And I said, do you really think so? And the next day, God had me come back and do a Bible study on the word hell with him. And when we got through, I just read Luke 16, 19 to 31. And when I got done, I closed the Bible. My wife and I got up off the couch and started to walk out the door. And there was two of them there. And when I started to walk out the door, I had just shared with them about what hell's really like. We hear these two voices yell out to us, don't leave us in hell! We turn around and these two men are on their knees begging us not to leave the room. And I just went, and they said, please, please don't leave us in hell. Because I just showed them from the Bible what hell was like. I wasn't trying to persuade them. When I showed up to their house that day, said, I don't have a clue what you want me to do. I wasn't expecting them to be there. We witnessed to them the day before, and God said, now you need to leave and ask them if you can come back and do a Bible study with them. And I said, okay, when? He said, ask them if you can come back tomorrow. So I did, and they both said, sure, we'll be here. And I thought, yeah, right. Probably won't be able to find you with the FBI. But I'll come back. And Sue and I came back, and we did this Bible study. And all I did was read Luke 16, 19 to 31, rich man and Lazarus. And I just said the things God wanted me to say. When I got done, God said, you're done now. Go ahead and leave. Closed the Bible, got up, started to leave. And they had now realized what hell was like. The day before, the guy was standing in my face and just going, I'm going to go to hell and party with all my friends. We're going to, you know, throw down whatever, all this stupid stuff he was saying. But you know what? You and I get to choose what we're listening to. You and I get to choose what we're thinking about. If you think on evil, it's going to have an effect on your life. If you think on sin, it's going to have an effect on your life. People don't fall into sin. It's not like you're walking along and you trip and fell into sin. It doesn't work like that. We make choices to walk into it. When you hear preachers got involved in some scandal, it's not because they got tripped up and they just accidentally fell into it. It's because they made choices or didn't make choices to go in the right way. Here's the devil talking to the first woman. Why is she listening to him? I'm just giving you thoughts. Two. What else? And notice that the first thing he said was he questioned God's word. See, if you went to public school like I did, you were taught there isn't creation. There was evolution. And, you know, there was some amoeba or some explosion, and it became slime, and then it became a tadpole, and it grew legs and crawled out and somehow became a monkey, and then that's how I came about. You know, and that's what they taught us, basically, in public school. Okay? They don't want to have anything to do with God because they don't want to be accountable to God. You get to choose what you're going to believe. And the very first thing the devil did when she started listening to him was he started questioning the Word of God. You get to choose what you're going to believe. You get to choose. You can either believe God or you can believe his enemy. You can believe truth, you can believe lie. You can believe light, you can believe darkness. It's your choice. Unfortunately, we're going to reap the result of our choices. Are you with me? Anybody missing this? Okay. Just thought I'd throw this at you. Go ahead, verse 6. Then notice he's just questioned God, and the woman's listening to it and thinking about what he said. And he says, no, you're not going to die. But God knows in the day you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, if Jesus was coming to Grand Rapids and there was an ad in the GR Press and it said, you can have a personal interview with Jesus for an hour, would you want to? Could I see your hands if you'd like to, just if you could see Jesus face to face and spend an hour with him. Would you like to do that? Huh? Yeah. But these people are hiding from God. Why? Because that's what we all do when we sin. We want to hide from God. We want to get away from truth. We want to get away from light. Because light exposes. That's why people date in the dark. You can get away with stuff in the dark, but you wouldn't do it in the light. You know, when guys, you know, because we've got 6 kids and 21 grandkids, and we didn't believe in dating. And so because I had already, you know, been a drug dealer when I met Jesus, and so I already knew what date was about. So it was like I got saved. It's like, hey, my kids aren't going that way, you know. So I taught my kids from the time as soon as I could remember, you know. You're not going to date. You know, they grew up knowing they're not going to date. So when it came time, you know, they're teenagers, whatever, and they're having all these hormones going off. And, you know, they like all these guys. My girls are all like knockouts, you know. And so all these guys are like, you know, wolves. And so anyway, and liking my daughters. And they would say, you know, Dad, I like this guy. And I'd say, can I have the dinner? And I'm thinking, bring him to dinner, you know. And then after dinner, he never wanted to come back again, you know. And they'd say, Dad, every time a guy likes me, you run him off. I said, you want to marry a man or a mouse? He's not the one for you. What he's got in mind ain't what I have in mind, okay? I care about them, and I care about you, and God cares about us. And there's a lot of things that the enemy wants to do in our lives, and it's not God. So, but when a guy, because I eventually came to the conclusion I had to let him marry somebody. So, anyway, no, really. God, but seriously, I remember this one. She kept bringing him in, almost like a revolving door. Dad, nope. I said, Lord, and he goes, nope. I go, nope. And all my girls, by the way, have come back to me and said, thank you, Dad, you didn't let me marry all those guys I brought to you before the one I married. I mean, I'm telling you, every one of them came to me and said that. But, I mean, it took a number of years for them to get smart. But, anyway, when they did have guys come over, I didn't just let them all go out, you know, in the dark. Just the two of you. You know, I'm sure everything will be okay. I didn't do that. I said, you want? I said, then you come over to our house, and y'all can sit where we can see you, and y'all can. We just want to talk. We want to be alone. Go be alone right there. I can still see you. Everything. She'll be safe. You'll be safe. If your intentions are honorable, you said you want to talk. You want to be alone right there. Go do it. but I kept my eye on them. And my kids would say, Dad, don't you trust me? And I'd say, yeah, but I don't trust the flesh, the world, or the devil. Because they hate your guts. They're against you. They want to hurt you. And I don't want you to be hurt. Because I've already been hurt in my life in the same way. And I don't want it to happen to you. See, dating, it was in here somewhere, wasn't it? I don't know. Anyway. Oh. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, do you think this person who made everything didn't know where they were? Or do you think he was trying to help them to realize, hey, you need to realize where you're at? Or do you think God didn't have a clue? Where are you? Do you think playing hide and seek? Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? See, he knows it all. He's the only one who could be a know-it-all and not get proud about it. I love that. Anyway, here we go. You ready? And he says, Adam, where are you? And I'll just share this thought with you because I'm an evangelist. Somebody cannot truly get born again or saved until they realize they're lost. And that's what God was really helping Adam to know here. Where are you? Do you realize you're lost? Do you realize that you're separated from my presence? Just a thought, just because I'm an evangelist. Okay. Verse 10. And he said, Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. I mean, naked like a jaybird. And I hid myself. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Blame shifting. Well, it was their fault. I'm not a good boy. It was just bad boys he ran around with. Blame shifting. But the woman whom you gave to me, and see, he's even blaming God. You gave me that woman, and look what she did to me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Is anybody going to accept responsibility yet? And the woman said, well, the serpent, you know, you made that snake, and he came and he beguiled me and I did eat. See, she's trying to blame God. One thing you'll notice, like if you read, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, if I'm not mistaken, it calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. Whenever you find somebody that is accusing, it didn't come from God. God doesn't ever accuse. God doesn't accuse. Satan tries to get us to accuse one another. He tries to accuse God to us, and he accuses us to God. You'll find that in the book of Job, when it said Satan came before God, and he accused Job. Accusing, accusation. So, verse 13, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, he didn't ask him. He already knew he was a liar. All right? And he said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. In other words, your offspring. It, the mankind, shall bruise your head, and you, the devil, the snake, shall bruise mankind's heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In other words, childbearing. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it, out of the ground, wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. When we do wrong, we try to cover it. When Adam and Eve did wrong, the first thing they did was they took fig leaves and they sewed them together to make aprons to cover themselves up because they were naked. But see, sin, the only payment for sin is death. Are you listening? The only payment for sin is death. Blood. So God had to take an innocent animal and kill the animal to make them coats, you know, skins, you know what I'm saying, to clothe them with animal skins. Sin always requires blood. It always requires death. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 18:4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The New Testament, Romans 6:23, says, "For the wages of sin is death." A wage is something we earn. So what we earn for sinning is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. There's two kinds of death. You know that, right? There's a physical death and a spiritual death. The word death means separation. The first death is a physical death because we're alive physically. And when our body and our spirit are separated, that's called the first death. The second death is when our spirit is separated from God. See, if you were to die right now, okay, like Matthew, if I came over there and took this pen and planted it in your heart a few times, and you were to die, we would separate your body from the real you. That means they would say you died, okay, but that's only the first death. The second death is to be separated from God. See, if you go to be with God when you leave this body, that's called eternal life. If you're separated from God, that's called eternal death. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Turn over, if you want to, we can do this real quick, in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, and we'll start with verse 10, Revelation 20. I wasn't going there, but just because you asked. Verse 10. And the devil, are you there? It's right in the back of the Bible. Like if you're all the way to the back, go back about one page. Okay. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, the Bible, 66 books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the... You'd almost think I didn't make it up. Kind of neat. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn over one chapter to just 8 verses. Turn over to Revelation 21:8. You ready? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, that's a counterpart, male counterpart of a whore, and sorcerers, that is where we get our word pharmacia or pharmacy from, by the way, it's drugs. Sorcerers and idolaters, well, Harvey, I'm none of those. Well, the next three words kind of includes all of us. and all liars. How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Oh, I'm sorry. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God wanted to give them proper clothing. God knew that their eyes had been opened because he had told them, you can eat of all these other trees, just don't eat of these two, because they won't be good for you. But they didn't listen to him. They listened to somebody else. They listened to somebody else. And then once they did that, God didn't just mark them off because he's the coolest person you ever meet. He said, he said, this is going to hurt because I'm going to have to kill this animal. And I love this animal, but I'm going to have to kill this animal because you need to be properly clothed. What you try to cover your sin with won't work. Okay? He said, let me do it for you. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, which are like angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I don't know what time we got started, but I'm feeling like the Lord's telling me that what we need to do, instead of me going into my notes and starting to preach and talk about stuff, that because he had already given me this idea. But anyway, do you have questions of all these things that we just read? Does it cause you questions? I know it's made your little brains ticking because I've watched some of you, you know. I can even see the smoke out of some of your... That last verse. It was like God said, okay, I'm driving you out from the Garden of Eden. And then he set up guards, angelic guards. And it was like there was a flaming sword that would turn every way to keep people out of the garden, okay? Away from the tree of life. Can you imagine if he would have let them eat of the tree of life? Because I was meditating on that. I was going, well, Lord, why wouldn't you want them to eat of the tree of life? He said, because now they've entered into evil. Now they've entertained evil and let it come live in them. They're already questioning me. He said, and if I let them eat of the tree of life, they're going to live eternally evil. You know? And he's like, I want to rescue them. I'm going to picture this. I'm going to show them that their sin required a blood offering. See, it was everything in the Bible always points to the cross and points to Jesus. But go ahead.
When he flooded the earth, did that all go away?
When he flooded the earth over in Genesis with Noah and his sons. Right. We could read that. We can't read it all today because there's about 3 chapters that go there, okay? But what ended up happening when he did that, you got to understand, there was only 8 people that were left when God had the flood come. Because when you read over there, I believe it's in chapter 6, and it says that there was wickedness throughout the land. Why don't we look there? And let's just turn, I think it's in chapter 6. Deep, deep, deep. Let's see, let's go there. Yep. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose, not which God chose for them. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive or fight with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, did the tree of life go away? I don't know that because he doesn't tell us everything. He tells us what we need to know, but I don't know where it is. Well, what I get out of it is that he wasn't letting people come to it. So whichever way, whether he hid it and it's like in one of the movies where something is there, but you can't see it. You know what I mean? Because maybe it was because it's a spiritual thing and you can't see it. You see, the spirit world is more real than this physical world because the spirit world is eternal, but this is all temporary. Everything you can see is only temporary. It all passes away. Okay? But the spirit world's eternal. Okay? So it's there, but I believe he just blinded us so we could not see it. Okay? Go ahead. Like a fifth dimension, whatever. Okay. We'll call it a spiritual dimension. How about? Okay. Okay. Other questions that were brought up. What?
I believe that Adam and Eve did give their heart back to God. I believe they're in heaven. I mean, what do you think about that? What's your thought on that? I mean, I don't see a lot of scripture, but I believe they were sorry.
I do too. When you read on the history of Adam and Eve, I believe that they also did because they were not as hardened as we are. See, I can take and preach Jesus. Like people in America, so many of them I've met because I've gone all over the country and, you know, understand where I'm coming from. All my life I had gone to church. By the time I was 20, six different denominations had baptized me, done everything churches told me how to do. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, my mom taught me, you know, you hold chairs for ladies, you tip your hat, you hold doors. I hold doors for ladies now going into buildings and they look at me like I'm doing something weird. I'm like, when I was growing up, they all did that. I said, I'm sorry, I thought you were a lady. You know, I don't say that, but I'm thinking that, you know. And maybe you weren't, maybe you were a shim. But anyway, all I know is I was raised to be mannerly, da 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 da, all this good stuff, be obedient, make straight A's in school, you know, don't sweep dirt under the rug when you sweep the house, you know, like my brother used to do, and don't do that kind of stuff, you know. So I was a good kid, but I didn't know God from a donut. I knew all about God because when I went to church, they taught me all these stories.
Raised in the church too, and I went my separate way.
And that's what I'm saying is a lot of people know about God, but they don't know God. Big, big difference. That's
on the top of your head.
Yep. It's just knowledge. That's why when you come in here, or when you hear things about God, or when you read the Bible, that you simply say to God, God, I want you to open this up to me. I want you. I need you to help this get deeper than just me having more knowledge in my head.
The beast, it talks about beasts in the field. Is that talking about dinosaurs or other big animals? Because, you know, he created everything, you know, right from the beginning.
He doesn't tell us what all there are, but there's all kinds of them out there. And if you want to believe there was dinosaurs, then there could be dinosaurs out there.
Jehovah talks about you weren't there and talks about
when I created this and that.
Hell or
right.
Bohemol or whatever it is.
Behemoth,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Leviathan.
Yeah.
Yep. And see, it very well could be, but to me, I can remember I'm in Bible college, and I go into some room where all these other Bible college students are, right? And these guys are arguing about dinosaurs, okay? And I said to them, I sat there and listened for a while, and they're arguing, you know? Well, I believe. And I'm like, and I said, can I ask you a question? How does this help your life, whether there were or there wasn't? How is this going to help you in your marriage? And they all got, so when I asked them questions, they all just went, I said, how does this help you in your relationship with your children? How does this help you in your job? Does this make you a better employee? And they all just, and I said, what does it matter? If there was dinosaurs, when we get to heaven, we're going to know it all. You know, God's going to reveal it and we'll know it. And if there wasn't, then it was just figment of somebody's imagination. I said, I don't know because I can't prove there was just because they tell me they got all these bones. You cover the whole earth in water. That's a lot of pressure. And that's going to cause a lot of things to change and whatever. And so I think that's how, you know, they got all these bones. But I can be wrong. I've never gone to one of these museums and seen these big things. But if I went there, I'm sorry, I would just say, how many of these did you make and how many of these did you find? Because they normally just start with one and then they say, well, this whole thing came out of this, you know, because it had to be this. So
I don't believe the earth is as old as scientists.
Right. Well, see,
my personal
I'm glad you just said that. What is it? Let me just ask. Because see, I got some questions I wanted to ask you, but let me just ask you this question. What is it you base your life on? What do you base your life on? I'm asking you. What did you base your life on before I introduced you to Jesus?
Me. My own ways.
Everybody sets themselves up as God. You see, every one of us, that's what sin does.
You can be like God, so it's like the new age.
Right. It's just a new face on an old life. Right. It's exalting self. Oh, I wanted to. Is anybody coming? I just want to get. See, I only know long answers, man. I don't know any short answers. I'm afraid to get going on this because I'm afraid I'm just gonna. But when we read these three chapters, because we're gonna go there, okay? We're gonna go there. Just hold that thought. But that's on these three chapters that we just left and things that I said to mess with you, to make your little brain start working, to make you start asking questions. Then what I want to know is, did this cause questions in you? Did this make you wonder about things? Is there something that you're... Hang on. This...
Yeah, it's like when he's talking here, a lot of people believe in the three different ages of the earth. There's different timing of the earth. There's the first timing and second and third timing. We ain't into the third timing yet. We're still in the second timing of the earth.
When I went to Bible college, they taught all these, they call them dispensations, and they have, there's some people believe in seven dispensations, some believe in three dispensations, some believe Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 was a whole dispensation in and of itself, you know, and then the second one started with verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and you know, and they say now it moved, you know, there was this whole history before. The Bible doesn't tell us about that because it's not something we need to know. If it's something we need to know, but I don't worry that, see, here's what happened when I was in Bible college. There was a whole lot of people that said, I believe this, Dr. So-and-so teaches that, there's a theory of this, there's a theory of that. I was a drug dealer. I just met Jesus. God calls me to preach. I go to Bible college, and here's all these other preacher's kids, you know, PKs, and all these people who had been in church, and they're all nicely dressed and polished, and, you know, my dad is the pastor of, you know, so-and-so mega church and whatever, and I'm like, I'm just this little peon that Jesus scraped out of a gutter and washed clean in his precious blood. All I know is I love Jesus, and he told me to go there. So I go there, and I'm hearing people tell me all their ideas, but I kept saying, where is it in the Bible? And every now and then somebody would give you something out of the Bible, but it was almost like they were finding a verse to prove what they already believed, not finding what the Bible was teaching and then basing their belief on that. And what God showed me was, Harvey, here's my word. And I want you to base your belief on what I say. I want you to take everything you think you know. If you don't get anything for today, please get this. Please get this. It will help you tremendously. Because God told me this. I when we started this church, I was asking him, why are we seeing things? Why are we experiencing your presence? Why is so many things happening like I've never seen before? And you know what he told me? He said, Harvey, when you first met me and got in church, you came to me and you brought me the blackboard of your life. I said, I brought you the blackboard of my life? He said, yes, everybody's got a blackboard. And on your blackboard is your belief systems, your opinions, your feelings, your agendas, why you make the decisions that you make right this minute. You have all kinds of things on your blackboard of what you think is important or what you believe. He said, and you came to me and you said, God, all those things I thought I knew, don't miss this. Remember, this is the most important thing. We'll be done. You ready? God said, all those things you think you knew didn't help you. You were on your way to hell if I hadn't saved you a year ago. And he said, and you came to me and said, God, here's the eraser to the blackboard of my life. All those things I thought I knew, making straight A's in school and them telling me I had this high IQ, all that wouldn't have helped me a bit. I'd still gone to hell. And he said, you came and you said, God, here's the eraser to the blackboard of my life. I want you to go over everything that I think is true. All my beliefs, all my opinions, all those things. And anything that doesn't line up with truth, according to you, Jesus, I want you to erase it. And then he said, you handed me the chalk and said, God, I want you to rewrite on the table of my heart what is true. And so when I went to Bible college, I got in trouble all the time because they would teach stuff and I'd say, excuse me. And they would go, what? And he was a doctor. I'm Dr. Know-it-all. You know, I'm Dr. Religious. And yes, little peon Bible student. And I would say, well, you said this, but over here in the Bible it says this, and over here it says this, and over here it says this. And this big doctor would say, it says that? And I'm thinking, what textbook are you using? Who are you following? Why are you standing up in front of me at what they call a Bible college if you ain't going to use the Bible? And I hadn't learned to be as gracious as I am right now. And so I got quite mouthy sometimes. And I was in Bible college as a grown-up, and they would send me to the office. Because I dared to question them. But I really don't care. Are you listening? I really don't care what your opinion is. I care what God has to say. Your opinion, if it's not based on what God said, He's eternally right. You and I are eternally wrong. Eternally wrong. Except only in those places where God says we're in agreement with Him. Not where we think we're in agreement with Him. Well, I was taught this, and I believe that, and my dad said this. Just because your dad said it doesn't make it true. I want you to respect your dad. But just because your dad said it doesn't make it true. If your heavenly dad said it, that's what makes it true. Otherwise, what are you basing your life on? What is your standard that you're building your life on? What do you hold as truth? What is your basis of truth? I'm just asking you. Last question. What is your basis of truth for your life? What is your basis of truth for your life? What are you basing your life on? What are you basing your life on? See, I love you. And I care about you. And I, who was it? Patty just said, how did you say that yesterday about the people that come into my life? They always have, how did you say that? And it's okay. You can hate me. You can not like me. I'm sorry. I wish I was a little more smooth. I wish I was easier to get along with. But God called me to be a troublemaker. He did. I'm serious. And if you know me, you already know that. Because He has me say things in such a way to make you have to think. To make you have to weigh out truth. I'm not asking you to be a follower of Harvey. We don't need Harveyites. We don't. What we need are Christians. Not Christians. You can't find Christ in with a magnifying glass. Christians. Christ-like believers. Amen. Where's Jesus in you? Amen. You see, do you know why people keep coming here? It's not because I'm here. Because there's at least a half a dozen people that come here that say, I come here in spite of Harvey being here. You know?
There you go.
There are! You just stood up and give testimony! When I met him, I didn't like him at all. And when finally, he got me to Jesus. And now I love him, but I still don't like him all the time. But I love him because he gets me to Jesus. I care about you. I care about your life. I don't want the devil to have reign in your life. I don't want him. The thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is what he is after in your life. When I say things, it's not just my opinion. It's what God says. I want you to get what God says. I want you to have Jesus. I want you to be loved. I want you to be believed in. I want your life to be changed. I want your life to come into God's perfect way. Because in that area, you are going to get blessed. You're going to get so filled up and overflowing. It's like you feel like you're about to bust all the time. And if you're not experiencing that, you just keep coming. We're going to help you. You just keep coming. And people come here, like Tommy there, and they'll say, I don't know what you got here, but I sure like it. And I try to get everybody else to come here too. And what it is it's God, because we're nothing. It's God in us. If they were just seeing us walking around like little stuffed peacocks, hi, I'm Mr. Righteous. Hi, don't you like me? I'm the pastor. What does that matter? What does that matter? Take that little title and stick it in the dark or something. I don't care. What I care about, remember earlier I said, if Jesus ran an ad in the GR Press and said, you can have a 1-hour interview with me this week, how many of you would come? Every one of you either raised your hands or some in the back nodded. Okay. Well, it's because you would like to meet Jesus. And folks, all I know is we want to get into the presence of Jesus. And every one of you, to some degree, has experienced the presence of Jesus. Some of you more than others. And you are like, man, I didn't know it could be like this. And all I'm telling you is there's more. There is so much more. Because you can't get to the end of God. I mean, there's just like so much more. We can only handle so much. And as we break agreement with lies, and as we humble ourselves, and as we're willing for God to come and erase what we already think we know in our pride, and say, God, I'm willing for it all to be suspect. I'm willing to lay it all down at your feet, Jesus. Here. Now you tell me what the truth is. Because I want you, Jesus, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. I want you. You're not a way. You're not a truth. You're not a life. You are the. Definite article, the. You are the one and only. I want you. And that's what I want. I've been on this quest for more of him for 33 years. July 1st, 1976, when I met him. And it's like, everything I found of him, thank you, Jesus, but I know there's more. What's in the way? Okay, my stinking thinking. Okay, well, here, take me. Fix it, Lord. Okay, what else? Your pride. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me of my pride here. And all the other stuff. And as I keep giving it to him, I'm able to come one step closer and one step closer. And I keep growing from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And you just keep getting, and it's like, he's addicting. You just get a taste of him, but he's like, he's addicting. There's just nobody like him. I can't wait till next week. Why does everybody love Jesus? Everybody doesn't. The majority of people don't. And even the ones that say, why don't they? Because they don't know him. You see, unfortunately, what we've unfortunately done is we've shown people religion and told them it was Jesus. And religion makes God sick and it'll make us sick. They don't need religion. They need a real relationship. And when somebody has a real relationship with God, it says if a man loves God, it's going to be known of him. And people may not be able to understand it because it's a working of the Holy Spirit. And so they can't figure it out. I think we're done.